This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Okay, so in our very first story today, the police has posted a reminder on Facebook saying, well, not saying, reminding you that it's an offence to make too much noise and bother your neighbours.
I've got a noisy neighbour.
Did a lot of trawling to find that song, did we?
That's a tough one, Uma. How dare you? So according to the Facebook statement by the police, if you have a neighbour who always makes noise, such as playing fireworks, revving a motorcycle loudly, laughing and playing music loudly, which disturbs the public order, you can report it to the nearest police station for action to be taken. This statement is describing about half of my neighbours in my taman, I think.
So the statement further added that those making excessive noise can be charged under Section 13(1) of the Minor Offences Act 1955, and those who are convicted under that act can be fined up to 100 ringgit.
So we looked around the internet a little bit and found a few zany ways that people are dealing with their noisy neighbours. This guy in particular, calling himself Simple Man, found solace in a ninja remote.
I used to live in this house and we had the most annoying neighbours. The thing that I hated the most was they always played their video games and their movies at maximum volume. And one particular morning, it was like 3:30 in the morning, and they had been doing Taylor Swift karaoke for like 2 hours. I talked to them. I called the police. I knew I had to take matters into my own hands. And so I did. I went to the internet, and I found this, the Ninja Remote. Now, the great thing was from my backyard, I could look right in their kitchen window, and I could see their TV. And with this thing, I could stand 300 feet away, and I could control their TV. So every time they were watching a movie, I would go out there and I would turn their TV off.
This is genius.
I knew you would say that. I had a feeling you would very much approve of this.
How do you not like this? Lynn, like you said, you have very noisy neighbors. Imagine if you had a ninja remote and instead of switching things off, you could turn things on.
Okay, I'm just going to say up front, we're not necessarily recommending it, or at least the show isn't. Uma can in a personal capacity, but here at
this
the station...
This does not reflect the views of BFM 89.9.
Or just the evening edition as a whole, just Uma. Because that's one way of going about things. Strange solutions aside, the public is warned by the police not to take matters into their own hands if they're unhappy with their neighbour's noise levels, because you could end up being charged for a crime instead.
Yalla, don't go breaking down their doors or damaging their property, but I think if your neighbor is making too much noise, maybe the first step, instead of making a police report as a good, decent citizen, is maybe knock on the door and go, hey, man, could you keep it down a little?
It's a tough one, though, isn't it?
I mean,
I have a long-running conflict with my neighbor about how they treat their dog, and I haven't... And the conflict, I must say, is very much one-sided because I have not kind of summoned up the social courage
to knock
on the door.
When you say how they treat their dog, do you mean like just like badly? Because I think that deserves a police report.
It's humane, but just I feel on the cusp of it. He's perpetually chained. He doesn't go for walks. So he's got enough room to move around, but barely.
Right.
It's not really a good life for a dog.
Right.
And I'm sure I'm not the only person who has issues with his or her neighbor. Let us know. I mean, do you have noisy neighbors? And you know what? I'm just going to take an option here for free therapy. If you'd like to call in and let me know how you've dealt with your noisy neighbors or with difficult neighbors, that number to call, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Also, if you have interesting neighbors and that you've been spying on them and want to share their stories, please. We like gossip as well.
Or just text Uma that's also fine. Don't call the show. In our next story of the day, we're talking about Pakatan Harapan.
5 tindakan dalam 100 hari pertama Kerajaan Pakatan Harapan. Nombor 1, menangkap MO1 dan ikan-ikan jeruk lain.
That, of course, was Tun Dr. Mahathir. Now, according to market research firm Kaji Data, published on the Malaysian Insight, Malaysians are split over the Pakatan Harapan government's performance after 4 months of its rule, with 5 out of 10 people saying they were satisfied. And it turns out that dissatisfaction was strongest in 4 states, Terengganu, Pahang, Johor and Sarawak, and in the 51 to 60 age group.
So this survey was conducted between September 12th and 24th, and they found that 53.4% are satisfied with the government's performance. And of that, 44.3%, which is a nice percentage, were very satisfied, with just under 10% just satisfied. Meanwhile, of the people who said they were not satisfied, that was 38.5%. 31.6% said they were very dissatisfied, which is a high number, I suppose. So there is 31.6 of people who have been polled who feel pretty strongly about this.
Kaji Data said the survey conducted through telephone and interactive voice response had 1,008 respondents, and it showed that people are still divided on the new PH government. Of the 4 dissatisfied states, past rule Terengganu was the highest, with 58% saying they were unhappy with Putrajaya, obviously, while 36% said they were satisfied and 6% had no opinion. Terengganu also rated Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's performance poorly, with 53% saying they were not satisfied, while 40% saying they were.
Now, another state with a loaded history, Pahang, the home state of former Prime Minister Najib Razak, registered the second highest rate of dissatisfaction at 56%. And when it came to Tun M's performance, 45% were dissatisfied and 53% were.
Yeah, overall, 55.8% of respondents said they were satisfied with Dr. Mahathir's performance, of whom 45% said they were very satisfied. And meanwhile, of the 35.9% who were dissatisfied, only 28.8% said they were very unsatisfied.
Having said that, I mean, despite the results, the survey found that if a national election were to be held again today, Pakatan Harapan would still be the coalition of choice, with 53% of respondents saying they would vote for the alliance again. And Kaji Data said PH's biggest support comes from the Indians, that's 82%, and the Chinese, 64%.
Yeah, so we went around the office asking people what they think about Pakatan's performance so far. Here's what they had to say.
Are you happy with Pakatan's performance and government so far?
Yes, in the sense that out of the 10 promises, like 2 are fulfilled and, you know, others are still in progress. But, you know, it takes longer to implement all these new policies. Pretty sure that they're heading the right way.
So far, they're doing okay. I suppose there are areas which they could improve on, but so far, not too bad.
I think they are doing well. I believe that progress is impossible without change.
So far, yeah, I would say, yeah, I'm not unhappy about it. I would say it's a good run. It's not perfect government. It's not perfect government, but they're doing quite good so far, I would say.
What are you happy with?
I'm happy that they're reviewing all the old contracts under the previous government and taking a good look at it, whether or not we require such projects and whether or not we overpaid for it.
I'm only happy of their performance. On other things that still need progress, well, that's still going to take time. So I'm not going to say that I'm happy with the results, but the progress so far is really good.
And what are you unhappy with?
I am really unhappy with their unrealistic manifesto. The manifestos that they put on during GE14 were unrealistic. I didn't agree with the PTPTN bit. I think changes are coming along at an okay rate. I would love it to be pushed a bit more. But yeah, again, unhappy with the manifestos that they put up. I think that was a fault on their end.
So those are just a small collection, I guess, of opinions from around the office. I'm curious to hear from you, though. I mean, do you agree with the survey? Are you satisfied with our government right now and the promises and progress that they've made?
So I think the survey results are quite interesting because they somewhat line up with expectations, right? Especially given the percentage of maybe even the popular vote that the current government got versus what the opposition got. And I think in most mature democracies, I'm not saying that we're one, but in most mature democracies, it's very rare that you get a approval rating or government gets an approval rating of above, say, 55 or 60%. And that feels about right to me.
I think we're hitting a point where it's about expectations versus reality. I mean, one of our colleagues made a point there about the manifestos. And I think what that lines up versus what we're seeing right now, there's always going to be that little kind of tipping point that happens.
And also, of course, you know, Dr. Mahathir just said in London, right, in his session, I think at the Asia Foundation, if I'm not mistaken, and he was talking about, oh yes, we made all these promises in the manifesto because we never thought we were going to win.
Ha ha ha, he said.
Yes, pretty much.
Let us know what you think. I mean, do you agree with the survey? Do you think that, are you happy with how the government has been performing? What would you like to see different? That number to call, 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Very briefly about noisy neighbours, Nina says, just curious, do they have a remote to mute neighbours? Kids shouting. Nina, if you find one, send one to the BFM office. I want it also. TS says, I wish the ninja remote can smack some naughty neighbors. Haha. So nice. There's that. See what you're encouraging
ninja
with this
remote?
Yeah. Okay.
Genius.
Anyway, we've got some messages coming your way, after which the Spencer Davis Group with Somebody Help Me, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM. 89.9.
BFM 89.9, you are with Lynn and Uma on the evening edition. And earlier we were talking about a recent survey by Kaji Data, which found that basically 5 out of 10 people, it's a choose your own adventure on this headline.
Yes.
Because you can say 5 out of 10 people are happy with the government or unhappy with the government.
Correct.
It's a 50% split, according to a survey of about 1,000 people. And we asked you, if we were to open that question up to you, how would you respond? Are you happy with the government's performance so far? And we have got Yap on the line. Good evening, Yap. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Could be better, but that's fine.
Were you talking about yourself or the government?
I think both. I'll try to be as balanced and fair as possible. Because I feel that I think it's a little bit early to answer that indefinitely, whether I'm happy or not. Mm. I think the survey results were quite fair in the sense that there are some people that have said, look, I'm quite happy as of what the progress has been, but that there are definitely a lot of rooms that we had wished would have just flipped overnight. You know, yeah, one button and then it flips and everything magically changes. I think one thing that was pretty obvious at the very beginning stages and still now is
right.
that we have so many ministers talking about so many things
uh-huh.
at the same time. And I can't help but feel like maybe there could be some consolidation because we tend to see a statement made and then subsequently some form of either retractment or clarification coming not from the minister but maybe from the minister's office. There has been, for example, the statement about how foreigners cannot purchase properties anymore.
Right.
And then PMO's office had to come out and clarify that, to say, no, we didn't actually say cannot, entirely, but this is what we were trying to say. So I don't know if this is due to some lack of consolidation, of streamlining, of messaging and whatnot, or maybe because the cabinet is still very fresh.
I was just going to say that, I think a lot of them, it's their first time on the job. Not that I'm forgiving these sorts of mistakes at all, because God knows I don't. But yeah, I think there's a very steep learning curve between being in opposition and actually being in government.
And we're watching it play out in real time too. So there is that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, that's a given. But I think we have some experience, like for example, 2NM, who would have had some fair share of experience in that area.
Correct.
And I think everyone's really eager to please the people, say what the people want to hear. But whether or not that's coming from a standpoint of a populist stance,
right.
or whether it's really, really a well thought out, well strategized statement that has yet to be seen. Because I think there's been too many times where I feel that there had been too many occurrences of clarifications that could have been a bit avoided, I guess, if such consolidation would have been done prior.
All right. Well,
yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, thank you very much for your call. Yep. I mean, yeah, I think this is something, Lynn, that a lot of people I've spoken to have an issue with. They don't want to be overly critical because they're like, it's only been 150 days and we're not trying to be silly and expect changes to happen overnight.
Yeah.
But get your act together,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I think the communication hasn't been all that great. Captain Arriva on WhatsApp says, I feel great about this new government. The fact that we can give feedback like this over the radio freely without getting cemented is a great achievement. To and
by
Dylan,
cemented, I'm assuming he means like cement bricks on our feet and then thrown into a river.
Something like that, yeah, I think. Yeah. To says, the survey result is a moot point. The government provides more satisfaction than the corrupt opposition. Dylan, satisfied. Reform needs time and resources. Give them more time, as long as it's not BN ruling. William, I'm really happy with how some of our new ministers are working hard on their end, but I'm unsure about perhaps our future PM. And yeah, I think some doubts there over the PD campaign, which we've talked about quite a bit on air. Regarding noisy neighbours, Alberto weighing in with a solution. I used to live below a very noisy, aged, rich, contemptuous lady. One day I found her landline number, shared it with a few other neighbours. That was it. Each time she played Sinatra at 110 dB or entertained in the balcony until 3 a.m. We called and hung up or played pranks on her until the volume went down. I guess the embarrassment and endless interruptions in front of her guests was too much to bear. A nasty but efficient solution.
See?
Yeah, okay.
Solutions.
I know. If we're going only on solutions, great solutions. Maybe not so good for social bonding, but you know, like when you have a noisy neighbor, sometimes I think these things happen.
That being said, Sinatra at 11, I wouldn't complain.
Okay. Moving on before we disagree more on air. In our next story, experts have warned that the internet could be fueling a rise in new conditions, such as cyber hoarding and cyberchondria.
Like, can I just ask you, I think I have a lump on my, like, armpit. Michelle, am I looking right at you? Because my husband says I'm not looking right at him, and I'm thinking, like, my eye's turning out or something. I might even have macular degenerative eye disease. My doctor says no. The doctors don't know what they're talking about, I swear. Like, it's my body.
I think I have that, whatever she has. I think I might have it.
Macular degeneration or the bit where you just talk very loud and very long?
Yes, I think that too. I don't know. Everything on the internet scares me.
Okay. So there's a call among experts for more research to understand the potential range of problems that exist, who might be at risk, and how individuals can be helped. And this is coming out of a new collaboration dubbed the European Problematic Use of the Internet Research Network. They're looking at these and other internet-related health issues such as gambling, pornography, and gaming.
So among the issues they're hoping to explore are cyber hoarding, which is basically reluctance to delete information gathered online, and cyberchondria, compulsively using search engines and websites in the hope of finding reassurance about medical fears, only to self-diagnose further ailments.
Consultant psychiatrist Naomi Feinberg said, what hypochondriacs used to do was search encyclopedias and medical dictionaries and so on, looking for signs and symptoms that they thought were serious. Of course, with the evolution of online resources, people now search the internet for signs and symptoms potentially indicative of a serious disease.
Yeah, she went on to say that the problem is probably under-recognized and that she's already seen it several times in her practice. She also added that cyber hoarding is another problem researchers are planning to explore further, and that again, nobody knows the extent of it.
So we've got a little piece of audio of a cyber psychologist, Mary Aiken, explaining to Big Think how the internet contributes to anxiety surrounding health.
Cyberchondria is defined as anxiety induced by escalation during online search to review morbid or serious content. So what does this mean? Well, it means that you have a headache and you end up reading about brain tumor. And there's a very good reason behind it. Humans have a propensity to escalate, to review the worst possible scenario, probably to dismiss it. So come back to the headache. If you went to your doctor and you said, I've a terrible headache, and your doctor said, well, you could have anything from a hangover to a brain tumor, you would say, oh my goodness, talk to me about the brain tumor. And essentially, that's what happens online. People click on the worst case scenario, and therefore, those scenarios get driven up the ranking, search rankings. So the point about search, it's based on a frequency model. Things that are frequently clicked are those things that actually rise to the top of search results. That's fine if you're looking at best beach in Florida, but when it comes to health-related matters, it's problematic. Why? Because it causes anxiety. And you could be perfectly well, but end up with a nasty case of health anxiety as a result of search.
Yeah, look at that. There are so many things that even the cyberchondriac thing is something that I'm now worried about.
Yeah, you want to look it up, I can tell.
I do, right? that's the weirdness of it. I'm worried I might be a cyberchondriac.
It's as much about the availability of information as anything else. Yeah. I mean, one headache could turn into anything, really.
Correct. And the thing is, we used to have headaches and little aches and pains all the time. And I think because we didn't have such easy access to find out what was wrong with us, maybe we would just take two Panadols and go to sleep in the end.
You know what? I've definitely fallen down a cyber hole before when it came to my health, you know, and by the end of it, I have cancer in 2 months, you know, and that's the end of that. And there's also something to be said about cyber hoarding. We've been talking about cyberchondria.
Oh, yes, of course.
But I am guilty of being that cliche of having multiple tabs open and not wanting to close any of them.
I never know what to delete with regards to audio. We do a lot of work here at the radio station where we record and we do lots of interviews. And I never know what to archive because I'm always like, what if I need it at some point in the future?
And yet it just kind of sticks around.
It takes up so much space, though.
Exactly. I mean, we would love to hear from you. Are you a cyberchondriac? Are you a cyber hoarder? Or perhaps you want to out someone you know. You know, not usually up for that, but when it comes to cyber conditions, while we wait for the official dictionary definitions to come in, go right ahead. Tell us about your friend. That number to call, 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. The news is coming your way. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.